morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Nun Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned Zechon Nishmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. We're in the middle of Nezayin Amid Beis at the two dots. We're starting this morning with Bas B'Chalov. You remember the Mishnah taught us that if you're Mekadosh something that is also by another, Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin. The Mishnah is back on Nun Vav Amud Beis, and the Mishnah gave a listing of those items which are also by another, and therefore if you're Mekadosh them, so the Kedushin is not going to be valid. The Mishnah is certainly not an exhaustive list of things that are also by another. Mishnah could have included other things as well. The Rishonim, certainly Tosfos on the Amud, and back on Nun Vav Amud Beis, discusses why the Mishnah treats these and only these topics, but the Mishnah gave us a list, and that causes the Gemara to give a source. How do I know? So the Gemara over here, some basic Gemaras, giving us sources of how do I know that these items mentioned in the Mishnah is also Bahana. So we've already covered a number of the items in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going point by point. So we already discussed up until this point in the Gemara the source of Arla, fruit from the tree in the first 3 years, Klaya Kerem, a vineyard where you have other seeds planted in it, Shoran Iskal, an ox that gores somebody to death and is sentenced to die, Egla Rufa, the decapitated calf, the Tzipor Mitzara, the birds of the Mitzara that are part of the Tahara process of the Mitzara on day one. There are two birds. One of them is Shechted, the other one goes free. The one that Shechted is Aser Ve'achila Uvehana. The one that goes free is Mutter. We've just finished discussing that yesterday. Sa'ar Nazir, hair of the Nazir. A Nazir, once he dedicates himself to becoming a Nazir, so the hair that grows on his head is Kodesh, right? Actually, let me correct myself, Kadosh. Okay, it is Be'etzim Kadosh. It's non-redeemable Kedusha. Petra Chamor, firstborn donkey. And then Bas B'Chalav. So we're up to, we have two more left in the Mishnah. We have Bas B'Chalav and Chulin Shanish Chutu Bazara. So let's begin the Gemara. We're on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Then we are discussing the source in the Torah that Bas B'Chalav is Aser Behana. Meanwhile, the Gemara says, where does the source from? Detan de Rabbi Yishmael. So we have a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Lo Sevashu Kedi B'Chalav Emo Gimel Pamim. In the Torah, if you look, it says, Lo Sevashu Kedi B'Chalav Emo three times. It says it in, hopefully I'll get this right, it says it in Mishpatim, Parshas Kisisa, and Parshas Re. So the so it says it three times. Echad Yisra Achila, Echad Yisra Anav, Echad Yisra Bishol. So once to teach us that you can't cook milk and meat together, another is to tell me that I can't eat milk and meat together, and the other one, and the third, is to tell me that I cannot get benefit. I didn't do it in order of the Gemara. I apologize. But okay, those are the three. Sir, my Bas B'Chalav. Masis and Doloki Aitana. Okay? And that's the halacha, by the way. The halacha is that meat and milk that's cooked together. So first of all, the cooking was aser, the eating is aser, and the hana is going to be aser as well. That's the halacha. The Gemara, however, notes now that there is a braisa that does not concur. Masis and Doloki Aitana, our mission is not following the following braisa. Detanya will turn to braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, meat and milk is forbidden to eat, but no Isser Hana. The Pasuk in Parshas Re'e, so it describes us as being a Am Kadosh, a holy nation. Now, later it says, although not really later, but earlier, and back in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah describes that you're going to be a holy a nation. There, the Torah describes the Isser of Treifa. Now, when it comes to the Isser Treifa, you're not allowed to eat Treifa, but we're allowed to benefit from Treifa. Same thing by Basu B'Chalav. So I guess you can call it Gzeir Shava. It sounds like a Gzeir Shava, that the Torah links together Treifa and Basu B'Chalav. So just like Treifa is also B'Chilo Mutabahana, same is true by Basu B'Chalav. Once again, it's not the halacha. The halacha is that Bas B'Chalav is usher in three ways. Bishul, Achila, and Hana.
Now what do you do with the pasuk
then? Huh? What do you do with it? Oh, what, you're right. The Gemara doesn't develop this machlokas. Right? What does one braisa to do with the other, Joshua? Good question. The Gemara just leaves it. Chulin Shanishchutu Bazara. I take a non-consecrated animal, non-hektish animal, or let's say it simply, chulin. I bring it into the Azara, I shecht in the Azara. The resulting animal is, according to our Mishnah, Aser Behana. Now, Here's what's clear before we start with the Gemara, so we have a good understanding of what we're about to go through. Here's what's clear. In fact, not only is it clear, we just read a lot yesterday in Shul. So the Torah says that if you take a karban and shecht it chutz la'azara, you shecht it outside the azara, so then that is what's called shechuti chutz. That's the issur in the Torah of shechting a karban outside the base of Mikdash. That the resulting animal is asur. Furthermore, the act of shechita outside of the azara is an issur kares. Okay, so one serious issur in the Torah. In the beginning of Masechta Krisus, the first Mishnah there, lists the 36 averas in the Torah where one is subject to kares, and shechuti chutz being one of them. So, the Torah is very clear about shechting karban outside the base of Mikdash. We're talking about the inverse. We're talking about taking a chulin animal, shechting it inside the azara. Now, there the Torah never says with clarity what would be the halacha if I did such a thing. What our Mishnah is teaching us is that it's the actual avera itself. It's an iser. I'll call it an iser. It's a right. It's a mirror image. So let's call it an iser. Our Mishnah is teaching us that the resulting animal is aser behana. And so now we are going to be learning together. Well, how do we know that? Meaning the Torah never actually says that. The Torah talks about kachim outside the azara. But we're now discussing the inverse. So, minani mili, so with that stated, let's now go forward in the Gemara. Where is this from? Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Amar Torah, Shcholi B'Shali, V'Shecha B'Shecha. So, Rav Yochanan says in the name of Rav Meir, basically, they are mirror images of one another. Meaning, a carbon has to be shechted in the azara. Chul has to be shechted outside the azara. And let's keep everything straight. You shecht mine in my area, meaning karban is shecht in the azara, and shelcha b'shelcha, and yours, meaning chulin, is in your area. And respect the boundaries. Mashali b'shelcha aser. Now, if you were to take my karban and shecht it outside, so that's shechut echutz. That the Torah is very clear about. It's aser, av shelcha b'sheli aser. So too, if you take chulin, shecht it in the azara, that's going to be aser as well. So far, based on this. Now, what this is, it's a little bit unclear. I call it a binyan av. I'm not sure if I'm right about that, but it's a drasha. I mean, that part's clear. What kind of drasha is it? So I'm not perfectly clear on what it is, but it is. So just like if you shecht a carbon outside the base of Mikdash, that's aser. So to shecht and kulin in the azar is aser. Now that just establishes the avera. That's an iser. Ima shali b'shelcha anushkaris av shelcha b'sheli anushkaris. So if I were to shecht yours, so just if you were to shecht the karban outside of the azara, so that's an iser karis, like we read in last week's parsha. So too, if you take chulin and shecht it in the azara, so it's going to be an iser karis as well. Now the Gemara is really asking a question, meaning this is not a statement, this is just a question of amazement. You can't do that, meaning right. In other words, what we're going to do now is we're going to be generating not only an avera, but the punishment as well. Now, the Gemara doesn't ask this question, but at this point in time, it is fair to ask the question. Well, wait one second. Ain onshim en adin, meaning generally speaking, we cannot punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer. The only time that you could punish is only when the Torah actually gives the punishment. But if the Torah does not give the punishment, even though we have methodology and even though we have ways of darshaning, but you can't punish somebody based on any type of drasha, not on a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer is the easiest one to say. So the Gemara is basically saying, so here we are now not only conveying that it's aser to take chulin shechtin in the azara, but based on this mirror image of one another, if I were to do so, the punishment would be kares. Now again, it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't raise the issue of ein onshim en adin. Now over here, the solution could be why the Gemara doesn't raise that is because we're not talking about onish bidei adam. We're not talking about makos. We're not talking about misa bidei adam. We're talking about kares. Maybe kares, and again, this is something to think about. Maybe kares is transferable through a drasha, through a kal v'chomer, or whatever we're doing right now. Kal v'chomer, binyanav, whatever we're doing right now, maybe a misa bidei shamayim is transferable. Anyway, I'm a crab, but the Gemara says, but this far we're not going to go. In other words, we're simply not going to say that. Because, el pesach olamo lo hiviu, la hakriv karban la Hashem. The Gemara quotes from Parsha Sachrimos, what we just read yesterday. The Torah says, he didn't bring it, meaning the karban, el pesach olamo. meaning to the Azara. V'nichras, and as a result of that, because he shechted the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Azara, so he's subject to kares. Al carbon and ushkares, al chulon shenishkut bazara ein ushkares. And here the Torah is limiting. The Torah is saying, the kares is only going to be for taking carbon, shechting it outside the Azara. The kares will not be for doing the reverse, taking chulon, shechting it in the Azara. Meaning, everything up till that point, the kares is correct. It's an avera, correct. The resulting the result of it is going to be tzatzu b'achila v'ana. That's also correct. The only thing we're stopping at is onish kares. Onish kares is only for shchutei chutz. It won't be chulin ba'azara. Now ikla mifrach, so the Gemara says now we can ask a pircha. Now the idea that we're asking a pircha again makes it sound like it's a kal v'chomer. I don't want to belabor this point, but I already did. But ikla mifrach malish liba shalcha shekein onish kares. The Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. Well, once we know now that they are differentiated by kares, so the Gemara says, so really they're not inversions of one another. I can make the argument that they're inversions of one another if the Avera and the Onish are the same. But now we've just determined that the Onish is not the same. So if the Onish is not the same, so basically now it's a built-in pircha. It challenges the very nature of this kavachomer. So El Amar Abaye Mehacha. So Abaye says, fine. So once again, we're looking for a source. How do I know that Chulun Sheba Azara, taking non-consecrated animal, shechting it in the Azara, is not only an Avera, but the result of which is going to be Asur Bechil V'Ana. So Abai is going to give a different source. V'shachtu v'shacharoso v'shacharoso. Tlasa Krai, Yesera, Matam Alomer. So there are three additional psukim, superfluous psukim, mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, describing the shechita. So the Torah says that when the Beis HaMikdash is too far away from me, and I have license to shech, meaning, this is Parshas Re'eh, the Torah is telling me that we are going to have permission to shech animals outside the Beis HaMikdash, what we call chulin. And there the Torah is basically saying that it's because you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash that you shech chulin. You can't take the chulin and shecht it in the Azara. You can't take chulin and shecht it in the Azara. Okay, so this is, remember, we have three superfluous psukim. So, one is coming to teach us that I can't take chulin and shecht in the Azara. Fine. But that only tells me if the animal is fit to be brought on the Mizbeach, meaning it does not have a physical blemish. Let's not confuse a physical blemish and a treifa. A physical blemish is an external physical blemish on an animal, which does not render it a treifa. It just simply means that it can't be offered on the Mizbeach. But right now, all I know is that I can't take an animal that would have been fit on the Azara and shecht it in the Azara. However, minan l'rabbos bali momem, how do I know that this iser chulin ba'azara includes even animals that are not fit on the mizbech? So mar ba'ani is bali momem shekein min ha'machshir. So the Gemara says, I'll include it because even though this particular animal cannot be offered on the mizbech, but it comes from a type that can be offered on the mizbech. Minan l'rabbos es achaya, wahab achaya. Achaya is a non-domesticated animal. A number of species of non-domesticated animals are perfectly kosher. How do I know that if I shech the achaya in the azara, now no chaya can be brought on the mizbech? There is no chaya that goes on the Mizbeach. So how do I know that if I shech the chaya in the Azara, I'm also in violation of chulin ba'azara? Marbani is a chaya she b'shchita kebeima. Because at least the action in terms of how you are machshir the animal is the same as the other animals. Shchita. So minan l'rabbos is a ofos. Now, what about birds? Birds are a different category. Yes, it's true that you shech birds, but it's not like an animal. Animal, you have to shech two simanim. Bird, you only need to shech one simon. And according to some opinions, even the one simon is not minatora, it's only midrabanim. But either way, so tamalomar v'shachtu v'shachat oso v'shachat oso. So that's why the Torah now has to say three times superfluous v'shachtu v'shachat oso v'shachat oso to teach me that all these are going to be included in the Avera and the Isser of Chulin Ba'azara. So far, what do we have right now? We have that if I shecht an animal which is A, fit on the Mizbeach, but it's not a carbon, it's not Mukdash. B, not fit for the Mizbeach, it has a Baal Mum. C, Echaya, D, an oaf. Any one of these animals that are shecht, and it's, and again, it's chulin, and I shecht in the Yazara, I'm subject to the Avera. Yacholo yishchot v'im shecha yemotar. Fine. That only tells me now that's Avera. What about the result? What if I do shecht chulin the Yazara? How do I know? I might have thought that I should be motar, tamalomar, ki yirchak mimcha makom v'zavachta v'achalta. The heter achila is only when I shecht it outside the Yazara. If I take chulin, shecht it inside the Yazara, there's no heter achila. Masha tozevech b'richuk makom ata ocha. V'yata ocha and so therefore, if I take chulin and shecht it in the Azara, it's going to be aser be'achila. And now I'm going to read quickly because we're going to do the same thing once again. Include all four extensions of this halacha. So how do I know that I should also include blemish animals? We're on the top of Ninchet Samadala. And how do I know to include chaya? Because I shech the chaya kibbehema, just like an animal. How do I know to include birds? So the three tiered extra psukim are coming to teach me all four of these categories. One more step in this process. So now, so far, what we have established is if I do any act of shechita, two, a non-blemished animal, blemished animal, chaya, and oaf. If I do an act of shechita in the Azara, I number one, violate an avera. Number two, it's a aser be'achila. But we want to get to point number three. Because again, all we're doing is giving a source for our Mishnah. And now we're up to point number three. How do I know that if I shech chulin ba'azara, not only can I not eat it, I can't even feed it to the dogs. Otherwise known as aser behana. The Torah says regarding a treifa, you send it, oso, that's a miyut, you send it to the dog. Meaning the treifa can be given over to the dog. The treifa is motor behana. Oso, tamash lechakel, via tamash lechulun sheneshkutu ba'azara. So that the oso is a mir, it's a limitation. What can't be given to the dog? Chulin sheneshchetu ba'azara. And take a look at the top Rashi over here, second Rashi. Rashi says, why necessarily are we excluding this as opposed to trefa? In fact, let's do the Rashi. Rashi, second Rashi. V'yatamash lekalev. So how, let me set this Rashi up. How do we get from point A to point B? Meaning, the Torah says that when it comes to a treifa, you can take the treifa and throw it to the dog. And the Gemara says, from deduction, we now know that if it's chulin, that was shecht in the Azara, that you can't give to the dog. How do we get from A to B? That's what Rashi here is addressing. Rashi writes, v'hachim ishtami chulin minei. And here's how we're going to get from point A to point B. De'ilu haikra mairi bebasar hayotzei chutz memichitzaso. Because essentially what the Torah is describing over there is any animal that left its border, that left its boundary. Kigon, an example. Uber shahotzi esyado b'shchitas imo yalfin la mehaikra. The Gemara in Chul and Rashi says teaches us the following. We know, just a quick introduction. We know that if you shecht an animal, female animal, and it has a fetus developing inside, so the fetus developing inside is going to be nitar. It'll be permitted with the shechita of the mother, meaning that the shechitas ha'im is going to be matir both the mother and the developing fetus inside. That's the halacha. The Gemara in Chulin says, how do I know that? Based on this pasuk. The pasuk says, basa basada shreifa lo sochelu. That once the animal leaves its perimeter, whatever it's enveloped in, and it's now out in the field, it is considered treifa. It's a strange pasuk. The Gemara in Chulin is telling me that it's teaching us that it is referencing the fetus. Now, as long as the fetus is within its mechitza, it's mutter. But let's say during shechita, I know this is strange, but let's say during shechita, the fetus extends one of its limbs. And if we can freeze frame that moment of shechita, so most of the fetus is in utero, and a limb of the fetus has left the uterus. It's now outside of the mother. So basically now, the part that's inside is mutter. The part of the fetus that's outside is going to be aser. And then, of course, there's going to be some sort of borderline between the two. The Gemara in Chulin discusses that as well. But anyway, and Rashi says, that's what we learn now from this pasuk of Basar basada. Mehai krali sur. U basar basada kagon. Shiyatza basar chutz mechitzaso. Begilui kasada. She'ein lo mechitza. Meaning the field, the idea of the field is there's no perimeter. There's no border. It's not inside something. Harehu nitrifa. And as a result of that, that limb that has protruded is going to be rendered like a trefa. Velo sochlu. And you're not allowed to eat it. Now you're not allowed to eat it, but you can get benefit from it. And Rashi says, and this is how now we're going to get from point A to point B. Because if the Torah is saying, this is something I'm allowed to get benefit from, so that means that if it's something that is not left its border, it's not left its boundary, you're not allowed to get benefit from. So now, let's take the visual. What's something that has not left the border? Because essentially, what did you do? You took a non-consecrated animal, you brought it into the Azara, and the entire animal is in the Azara. Rashi says, Vidarashachi, Oso dunes abitzias mechitza. In the case of the protruding limb, it left its mechitza. And therefore, you're allowed to get benefit from it. So here, when it comes to chulun shabazara, it is not left the wall. In fact, it is interior of the wall. Dasirin im af bahana, where there it's going to be also even bahana. Okay, very good. So now Abaye has just given us the drasha. It is a layer drasha that teaches us that if I have chulin with a shecht in the azara, so it is subject to both an isser achila and an isser hana as well. If I then let's bring it all the way back to the Mishnah. If I were to take such an animal, hand it to a woman instead, I'd like to be mikarshi with this chulin shenishkutu b'azara. Now it's asa b'achila and it's asa b'ana. So therefore, the kedushin is not going to be a valid kedushin. Nunches Amud Aleph, about 8 lines from the top, second word in the line. Ashchechinam Ar Yehuda L'Rav Yosef L'Rav Shmuel Berei De Rabba Bar Bar Chana Da'av Kaima Apischa De Bei Rabba. Okay, a number of Amoraim were congregating in front of the entrance of the yeshiva of Rabba, or the house of Rabba, probably yeshiva. Amar Lehu Tanya, HaMekadosh B'Petach Hamor B'Bas B'Chal V'Chun Shelishchutu B'Azara. If I were to be Mekadosh a woman with either firstborn donkey or meat cooked together with milk or Chun Shelishchutu B'Azara, Rabbi Shimon Omer Mekudeshes V'Chachamim Omerim Eino Mekudeshes. So here we have a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Shimon says in these three cases the kedushin is a valid kedushin, and the chachamim say the kedushin is not going to be a valid kedushin. Obviously, our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of the chachamim, not Rabbi Shimon. Amachul shadishkutu bazar la Rabbi Shimon lav deraisa. Now, we're just going to focus on one of these three halachas, and that is chulin shenishchutu b'azara, which of course makes sense because that's contextually what we're discussing right now. Comes out now that according to Rabbi Shimon, I could take chulin shenishchutu b'azara, hand it to a woman, and the kedushin would be valid. What does that teach me? That Rabbi Shimon does not agree with any of these drushas that we just did, meaning these drushas are only for the chachamim and our Mishnah, who agree with the chachamim. But Rabbi Shimon obviously does not hold to these drashas. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not an Isser Daraisa. Urim Minhu. However, the Gemara points out, I'm challenging you based on the following. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chulin Shenishchutu B'Azara, Yisrafu, V'chein Haya, sorry, V'chein Chaya Shenishchutu B'Azara. However, we have another Braisa, and this Braisa teaches us that, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I have Chulin, I shecht it in the Azara, so what do I do with it? I burn it. I have to dispose of it, and disposal has to come through Sreifa. Similarly, if I have a Chaya, again, a reminder, Chaya cannot be offered as a carbon. A Chaya is not eligible to be brought as a carbon. But if I take a Chaya and a Shecht in the Azara, so once again, it needs disposal, and disposal has to come through Sreifa.
Isn't there a reason to know that if something is bound to be burned, it's as though it's burned, so it doesn't have any value?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Let's go through Rashi. Rashi says over here, now, what becomes the problem is the following. So we are pitting two brises, one against the other. The first brice that taught us that if I took Chulin Shenishchutu B'Azara, according to Rabbi Shimon, and used it as Kesef Kedushin, it works. So therefore, Chulin Shenishchutu B'Azara, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not an Isser D'Oraisa. On the other hand, we just learned another brisa together that teaches us, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I shech chulin in the Azara, I have to burn it. And so what? So Rashi over here is critical in terms of teaching and in terms of telling us why it's an issue. Velosagilu bekvura. Rashi says, look, in terms of disposal of things that became disqualified, so basically there are two methods of disposal. One is burning and the other is burying. Now, over here, by saying that this chulin that was shechted in the Azara is needs to be disposed of through burning, so that means that disposal is not good. I'm sorry, burying is not good enough. You have to burn it. Alma Rashi says, what do you see from here? Isuro min haTorah. Therefore, it must be that the Isur is min haTorah. Rashi then continues. De'ima derabanan mimachmirna kulahai. Now, if the Isur of Chulin Balzara is only an Isur derabanan, we wouldn't be this machmir to have to burn it as opposed to burying it. Why? Nehida bebehema gazar atu psula amukdashim delo nemru kashim psulim nikbarim elachaya iikar iser dida lavda raisa mehechi tesa. Rashi says, let's consider the following. what we may end up doing is confusing this halacha with the halacha psula hamukdashim, meaning you have a carbon that was disqualified. Now, with a carbon that gets disqualified, disposal has to happen through sreifa, right? We know for let's say for example by nosar, right? We know Torah says very clearly. We read it over Pesach that if I have nosar, any animal that went over its deadline of eating by shlamim is more than 2 days, by a chatas and ashram it's over 1 day. Anytime that it is let you have left over by carbon Pesach, it's 1 night, and according to Rav Lazar ben Azarya, half of 1 night, midnight. But once it goes beyond its allotted time, so then it becomes nosar. That's psula hamukdashim, and the Torah says it has to be burnt. Now over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. If that's only an iser derabanan, there's no way that there's going to be a demand to have to burn it. Rashi goes. Rashi says, let me read that Rashi again. Nehi. Yes, it's true. There's an isser, and let's call it an isser derabanan. Delo namru kachim psulim nikbarim, because we don't want anyone to come away saying, "Well, you know, if it's a carbon that got disqualified, you can bury it," because that's simply not true. Ella chaya o ikar isser dida lav daraisa mehechitesa halekal amigzer atu kachim. But if the isser of chulin is only an isser derabanan, there's no way that the Gzera Durabanan is going to demand us to not only dispose of it, but also to burn it. That's way too much. V'lami b'sreifa, v'afila b'kvura. I'm sorry, v'efsher b'kvura. Ella vada isuro min haTorah. The fact that we're burning it is teaching us that it must be that it's an isur min haTorah. If I shech chulin ba'azara. So Rashi, so that's the problem. The problem now is that Rabbi Shimon on one hand is indicating that it's only an Issa Durabban Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara because you can be Mekadesh with it. On the other hand, the Sreifa is teaching us that it must be a Psul D'Araisa. So, we have now what's called a problem. Rabbi Shimon Lav D'Araisa, V'Reminu, we read that, Chai V'Chein Chayam, Ishtiku. So, to that, he didn't know how to answer. Also, Kamed D'Rabba, now remember, they were in the Yeshiva Rabba, so good. So, they go to Rabba and they ask him, Amalu Palga. So, Rabba's response is, you're pestering me, right? Palga from the word plog, polig, to argue, to quarrel, to divide. He says you're divisive. So the Gemara says, in terms of what we could be describing over here, is that you shechted and it turned out to be a treifa, meaning that even though we had the indication earlier that if I were to shecht it and use it as kesef kedushin, it's going to be good. That gives the indication that it is mutar bahana, and therefore it's not asur min haTorah. Gemara says that's talking about a very specific case. You shecht it and it turns out to be a treifa, and therefore Rabbi Shimon Latami Ditanya shochet a treifa v'chein a shochet nimsa treifa zevzeh chulin ba'azara. Rabbi Shimon Matir, if I shecht an animal and it turns out to be a treifa, so did I violate chulin shebazara according to the Tanakhama? Yes, and according to Rabbi Shimon, no, I didn't. I'm sorry, matir bahana would be mutar bahana. Now obviously you can't eat it because it's a treifa, but it's mutar bahana. And the Chachamim, most of them, the Chachamim say it's no good. And as Rashi points out over here, this is Rabbi Shimon being consistent, super consistent. Rashi quotes the Gemara in two places in Chulin. Two places in Chulin, one place in Baba Kama, where Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Shechita Sheinei Ruyah Lav Shmei Shechita. That if I shecht an animal, but I can't eat the animal. Here's just but one example. I'm shechting an animal, but it's a treifa. So if I'm shechting an animal, but I can't eat the animal, so the shechita is not a valid shechita. That is Shita's Rabbi Shimon. Throughout Shas, over here in this brisa that you just quoted, it could very well be You have to say that the brisa is talking about a case where you shechted the animal, turned out to be a treifa. So that means that the shechita was not a valid shechita. If the shechita was not a valid shechita, so therefore it is not chulin shenishchetu ba'azara because the shechita is not valid. I know it's interesting because you were planning on shechting chulin ba'azara, but. It doesn't matter. It didn't work out the way you planned. You didn't violate the avera the way you planned. Okay, but that's just simply because of how he holds regarding chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. Okay, quick recap. We finished the sugya of chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. Our Mishnah tells us that if I take non-consecrated animals and shecht it in the azara, so it's A, an avera, B, asur ba'achila, and C, asur ba'ana. How do I know that? So the Gemara offered two drushas. The Gemara seems to have favored Abaye's drusha. It's based on the extra psukim mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, coming to teach me that if I shecht any animal, even a chaya, even a bird, in the azara, it's subject to an avera, isra achila, and an isra hana. And that's the source for our Mishnah. And then the Gemara notes, maybe Rabbi Shimon disagrees with his position, although the Gemara pitted two brises one against another, and the Gemara is unclear as to whether or not Rabbi Shimon agrees or disagrees with this halacha. Okay. Amachron v'kiddush b'demehem mekudeshes. If I sell any of these items, now when I say sell these items, by the way, it's a little bit hard to understand how that sale is working. Because, well, right, it's us about now. So what are you selling? Okay, all understood. So I'm not, I get it. I'm not really sure how the sale is working. The point the Mishnah is making is that there is no transfer of Isser. Meaning that the Isser does not get exchanged to the money. So if you generate anything from this in terms of a profit, in terms of money, the money will not have the status of the Isser Hana, and therefore you could use the money for the Kedushin. Minalan, and how do I, the Gemara says, now how do I know that? How do I know that there is no transfer of status? Because the Torah says, because the Torah is clear in one place that there will be transfer of status, and that will be Avodah Zarah. Vayisa cherem kamohu. Kol sha'ata mehayeh heimenu hareu kamohu. When I make any type of exchange with Avodah Zarah. So I'll swap you out of Avodah Zarah for money. Even though, of course, the Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana, the Torah says that any profit I generate from the Avodah Zarah will have the status of the Avodah Zarah, and just like the Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana, all profit generated is also going to be Asur Bahana as well. And that's telling me that in all other cases it would be permitted. The Gemara says, what are you saying? Say the opposite. V'nelef mina. What do you mean? That's the classic binyanav. We have a precedent, and now that should be that anytime I have something that's Asur Bahana, and I generate profit from it, the item should also be Asur Bahana. So Gemara says, Mishandav Avodah Kocham, Mishvi Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'echad, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'echad, Eim Alamdin. So the Gemara says, because it's not a precedent, because we have another Isser in the Torah, where we see that the Isser transfers over to the money generated from that Isser. And that would be Avodah Kochavim Hadamar. And so one is Avodah Zarah, which we already described. It's based on the Pasuk of Vayisa Cherem Kamohu, and Shvi'is Mahi, and the Isser Shvi'is. Peir Shvi'is has Kedusha, and that Kedusha is going to transfer to the money that was exchanged for the Peir Shvi'is. So the Gemara says, where is the source for that? Yovelhi Kodesh Tiyeh Lachem. Ma Kodesh Tofes Es Damav, Af Shvi'is Tofes Es Damav. Just like Kodesh, when I have something that is Kodesh, so it will be a transfer of Kedusha from the Hekdesh over to the money. So that means that when the Beis HaMikdash has Hekdesh and they sell it to me, so now the Kedusha goes from the object to the money. Same thing is true regarding Perish Shvius. So the Gemara says, "Makor Shofis is Dama V'yotzal Chulin." Ah, Shvi Tofes is Dama V'yotzal Chulin. So the Gemara says, "Well, then it should work in the same manner, just like by something that belongs to Hekdesh. So there is a transfer of the kedusha from the item to the money. So the same thing should be true by Perish Shvius. Yeah, Tamalam or Tiyeh. But however, we know that by Perish Shvius, this is just simply not true. By Perish Shvius, the kedusha transfers over to the money, and the original fruit will still have the status of Kedushas Shvius. Ketzad. And then the Braisa just simply gives us an example of, let's see this inside. Lakach beperish Shvius. Basar. Let's say perish Shvius, so I'm going to generate a revenue, but not cash revenue. I'm going to exchange it for meat. Okay. So I take my perish Shvius and I exchange it for meat. Elu ve'elu mitba'arim b'shvius. So now both the perish Shvius, because again, the kedusha never leaves the actual perish Shvius themselves. So they're going to have kedusha Shvius. So when you get to the zman biur, the time that you need to destroy the perish Shvius, I'm going to say it like the Rambam, right? Every time we go over the mitzvah of biur perish Shvius, so just to remind each other, it's machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid. What exactly that means biur? What does destruction mean? The Rambam says like biur chametz, meaning actual destruction. Okay. I'll say it simply like the Rambam. So that means that when the Zman Biur comes, I have to destroy the Perish Shvius, and the meat that was exchanged for the Perish Shvius also is going to have the Kedusha, also needs to be destroyed as well. Now, Basar Bibasar Dagim. Now, what if subsequent to that barter, I then took the meat and I exchanged it for fish? Yatza Basar V'Nichnasu Dagim. So now the Kedusha Shvius goes from the meat to the fish. You see, after the fruit, then it's going to be that Kedusha is going to continue jumping from one bartered item to the next bartered item. So, I then exchange fish for wine. So haketzan, and then just a summary statement. Achron nitvas bishvius upere atzmo aser. So every bartered item is going to collect the kedusha shvius. The original fruit is also always going to have the kedusha shvius. What have we gotten from all this is that now there are two Isurim in the Torah where the profit generated from that Isur is going to receive the same status. Avodah Zarah, Perish Shvius. They're not perfectly identical to one another, but they are both they both take on the status of profit generating. That means now it's no longer cost of Echad, it's Shnei Ksuvim, and because it's Shnei Ksuvim, and Bank Echad, and Malamdim. But then the Gemara, you know, when we get to this point in the Gemara, we're going to cross the T, dot the I, and that is Hanich Lamanda Amar Malamdim. Elamanda Amar Malamdim, Ma'ik Alamemar. There are Tanaim who are of the opinion that even two Psukim creates a Binyanav. Mi'ute Ksiva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not here. Because in both of these examples of Avodah Zarah and Perish Shvius, the Torah is telling us Mi'utim, limitations. Ksiv Hacha. Ki cherem hu, it says regarding Avodah Zarah, it is cherem, the hu is a miut, uksiv hasam, yovel hi. He in midachrini lo. So in both places the Torah tells us a miut, telling us that this halacha, that the status of Isarna goes to the money generated from that sale, is only limited to these and only these two halachas. Next Mishnah. We are in the bottom of Nun Chesam and Aleph, we're starting the last Mishnah of the second parak. Hamikadish betrumos uvemaisos uvematanos. Man is mekadish a woman using either truma or meiser or matanos. Matanos is every animal, from every animal that shechted, you have to take a portion of the animal and give it to the kohen. It's called throughout the Mishnah simply as matanos. Zroa l'chaye en keva, the front leg, the cheek, and the fourth stomach of every animal needs to go to a kohen. No. This is not from karbanos. Oh. It's from every animal that we shecht. So, if I were to be mekadosh a woman using any one of these items, the kedushin is valid. Uvemechatos, uveeferchatos. Same is to be true if I were to be mekadosh a woman using the water of the paraduma, the ashes of the paraduma, And as we discussed earlier in the first perek, they are super expensive. I mean, that is, I don't know how much you would appreciate that kedushin, but the being given only ashes. But as we learned earlier, it is exorbitant price for the paraduma. Harezem mekudeshes va'afil Yisrael, and the Mishnah tells us a tremendous chiddush, and that is. Is that not only is this considered a monetary value in the hands of, let's talk truma. Okay, let's talk truma. So truma, of course, is the 2% that comes off the produce and is given off to, and given to the Kohen. Not only, now the Kohen has full ownership of the truma. Now obviously he's supposed to eat it, but he owns it. It's his. It's matana. It's a gift from us to him. So therefore he owns it. So it goes without saying that if the Kohen now with this truma goes over to a woman and says, I want to be mekadesh with this truma, so it has monetary value, therefore the kedushin is a valid kedushin. But the Mishnah is telling us a tremendous chiddush, and that is the following. Even if I, a Yisrael, have the truma in my hand, to me also it represents a monetary value, and if I hand it over to a woman in the form of kedushin, therefore the kedushin is going to be valid. So the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush in that the truma is not only considered a monetary value in the hands of a Kohen, the truma is also considered to have monetary value in Esau's hands as well. Why should that be? It's not yours. You need to gift it to the Kohen. So take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah addresses this. Ve'afilu hu Yisrael. Ve'kasa chadacha afapisha ein lo b'chol elam. Now, obviously, the chiddush of the Mishnah is... It's not yours. You need to give it to a Kohen, or by my Sarisha, you need to give it to a Levi. It's not yours. So you know what you have? You don't own the Truma, but you have the power of allocation. You can determine who it's going to go to. That power of allocation has a monetary value. I give the example all the time. It's a little bit cynical, but ask any politician how valuable it is to him to be able to give a contract to somebody. Okay? I know that's a cynical way to look at it, but basically, when you have the ability to allocate, that ability is what we're going to be calling Tovas Hana'ah, and that has a value. So the Truma is not yours, but your ability to determine which coin it goes to is a value. Now, not... I want to clarify. You're not allowed to be bribed, right? And that's why my example is not a good example. First of all, the politician also shouldn't take a bribe. Okay, so that's my moral statement of the day. But in other words, you're not allowed to take a bribe for the matnas kahuna. That part's true. Although, okay.
For the
Gershon,
the woman is not getting a tangible value.
Sure, she is. She's getting the Tovas Hana'ah, meaning she now will have the ability.
Tovas Hana'ah is a theory. How is she going to actualize it?
Right. So that's what I was about to say. That there are, in other words, let's say you are.
How is that different from for giving a loan?
So just hear me out. So let's say you have a Kohen who you know is not getting. He's not getting a lot of truma. It's just not popular. He's not getting a lot of truma. What you can do is you can basically go over to the farmer and you could say, look, I know you have a lot of truma. I know you have the ability to allocate. So I'm going to give you a consideration in order so that you can direct it to that Kohen. It's not a bribe. I mean, I guess you can call it a bribe. But the halacha allows that to occur. It's Tovas Hana'ah. It has a value.
Yeah, for him, for her.
Like he's giving her the truma now. He's giving her that ability to allocate. Okay. So that is the value of truma, even to the non-Kohen, the Tovas Hana'ah, the ability to allocate. So, with that stated, let's start with the Gemara. Amar Ula. Tovas Hana'ah in a Mammon. Right. So despite everything I just said. No, but I had to say it because that's obviously the Gemara's original understanding of the Mishnah. Amar Ula Tovas Hana'ah in a Mammon. So Ula says, you know this thing that I've been arguing now for the last 5 minutes? Tovas Hana'ah, it's got a value, it's got a monetary value. Ula says, no, it doesn't. No. In other words, you cannot consider it a monetary value. Obviously, its power... But don't call it a monetary value. Now the Gemara says Eitzvei. Now you know what's coming because it's going to be a simple question against Ula, and that is, well, Ula, how did you understand our Mishnah? The Gemara asks, Amar Ula Tofas Anai Namam and Eitzvei Rebbe Abba Leula. The following question: Hamakash b'shumos v'maisos v'matanos b'mechatos ve'efer para hareze mikudeshes ve'afilu Yisrael. Our Mishnah says even the Yisrael can be mekadosh a woman with truma. And again, what's that value? It's tovas ana, right? How else did you learn the Mishnah? Amar le hacha b'yisrael shenafalo tevalim mibeis avi imo kohen. So Ula will tell you, you didn't understand the Mishnah correctly. The Mishnah is not talking about generalities. The Mishnah is talking about a very specific case. Let's say you're Yisrael, but your maternal grandfather is a Kohen. Quite conceivable. Now, he dies, and he now left you his Tevel. Now, Kasavar Matno Shalohomer Kamisha Homer Damyan. Now, even though it wasn't tithed, nevertheless, the position we're going to take is the following. There is latent truma in there, and that latent truma that's in there is, we're going to call it right, even though right now it's latent, but we're going to call it truma right now, and therefore, you can be mekadesh with that truma. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Kemish Shohor Mardamian, it's the last Rashi on the Amud. Hove omedis litrom, v'nigmar malachto lekach, v'zacha hakoin b'chayav b'truma shebal. You see, your maternal grandfather collected, he had a farm, collected the produce, and now there's lane shuma inside. You know who that lane shuma belongs to? Belongs to him, your maternal grandfather. As shalom hutal alav el lahafrisha ulakayma. You see, yes, it's true, he does have to separate truma, but he's a Kohen. So he can be the recipient. So, and we're going to assume, we have to assume, that even though he didn't do the hafrasha yet, it's ke'ilu, it was there, and it's been done already. So, ulakayma la'atzma. Af yoresh zeh, yifrishenu v'im karenu l'kohanim. So now, here, his grandson who inherited. So he inherited truma. It's his because it belonged to his grandfather. So it says, now obviously he can't eat it because he's not a Kohen, but it's his, and therefore he could do with it what he wants. He could sell it, or finds a nice young lady, he can give it to her as guest of Kedushin. V'chein he, simkarenu, and then she can turn around and she can settle as well. Because it was his, and therefore he's giving what belonged to him to her. V'u adinami dematzalukma b'truma shanafalo mi'beis avi imo, Kohen. Okay, and Rashi points out, by the way, the Gemara's answer here is a little sophisticated, meaning we could have just simply said that the maternal grandfather already separated the truma, and then he died. And then that truma then was yarshin by his grandson. However, then we don't really have much of a chiddush, and the Gemara in its answer wants to give a slightly more sophisticated answer, so we get this chiddush of latent truma is considered truma. Okay. Let's continue. We are towards the bottom of Nunches Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. So here the Amoraim are having a discussion. Yes or no? Is Tovas Anah considered money or not? So the answer is, let's quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that Tovas Anah is Mamon. He says, wait one second. Weren't you there in Yeshiva? Didn't you hear the Mishnah is talking specifically about someone who inherited his maternal grandfather's truma? And again, it's a sophisticated answer. His maternal grandfather's latent truma. But still, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Amar le hotzas at. And he says to him, hotzas at. Rashi explains this to mean, top Rashi in Chesamad Beis. Mutza at mishmua zu. Nir she'ina ta chacham ba. You didn't know this answer? You were like outside while they were saying over this answer. Rashi offers another pshat as well. The word hutsa comes from the word hutsal, which means basically you're like a reed, like go waving back and forth, meaning it's flimsy, meaning you didn't know this. Ichzif. Now he got embarrassed. Tu sever mishmaita kamerle. So he thought that he learned it through a teaching. Amalei hachi kamin, Rav Asi dehutsal kai kavasech. He says, no, Rav Asi actually says over the same shot that you say in the Mishnah as well. So basically, where are we at right now? We are, our Mishnah, although it seems to indicate that Tova Sana is considered Mammon, but the Gemara deflected now two times with the same basic approach. Leave our Mishnah out of the discussion, at least according to Ula, for sure leave the Mishnah out of the discussion. Our Mishnah is talking specifically about someone who inherited his maternal grandfather's Truma. Then it's his, and then he can turn around and give it as Kesef Kedushin. But if it's your, I don't want to say your Truma, but if it's regular, meaning it's your produce, and your Mafish Truma, even though you do have the ability to allocate who it's going to go to, it's not yours. That it's not considered monetarily yours. That Tovas Anah is not a monetary value, and therefore you cannot be Mekadosh with that Truma. Okay, let's. I know we have a little bit more to finish the parak. We'll do it tomorrow. A Braisa, five different ways to understand the Braisa. We'll start that tomorrow. So quickly, just to recap, finishing up the sources in the Torah for the Isser Hana of Basar B'Chalav and Chulin Shenishchu to Ba'azara. Moved on to the fact that only two areas in Halacha where if profit is generated from the sale of Isser Hana, the Isser Hana transfers over to the money. One is Avodah Zarah to Ishvis, and the rest of it, there is no transfer of the status to the profit generated. And therefore, if there is profit generated, which there obviously shouldn't be, because it's Asur Ba'ana, but if there is an exchange for the Isuri Hana, that exchange does not have the same status. Does not, and therefore, you could be Mekadosh with that exchange funds. And finally, the last Mishnah that we learn is that you can be Mekadosh with Truma. The simple Pshat in the Mishnah is that what monetary value does it have to you? Tova Sana. Ula says, I'm not learning that Pshat in the Mishnah. That's not correct. Tova Sana does not have monetary value. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about someone who inherited his maternal grandfather's Truma, and that's what the Mishnah is discussing.